So good to see you. Welcome to all those in the building. Welcome to all of those tuning in online, whether you're watching live or perhaps if you're listening to the podcast or watching a playback later. Really, really love having you guys. I thank God so much for technology and the fact that it helps make us close. I've been talking to more and more people from our church family who have been at church online for more than a year and a half. And they tell me we watch every single Sunday. We are steadily connected. And I just want to say how much I love you and appreciate you and just thank you for being a part of this church, even from your home. You're awesome, and we really, really love you guys. So, well, would you just give them a hand clap? Welcome them. Awesome. Awesome. All right, I'm going to start with prayer, and I'm excited. I'm going to get right into today's message. I'm very, very excited about what God's put in my heart for our church. But let's begin with prayer, shall we? Father, we love you. Thank you for this great day. God, I just thank you for these unbelievable people, Lord God, that make up the family of Church on the Rock, whether they are in the building with us right now, whether they are in their living rooms or listening as they go down the interstate or listening to a playback later because of work schedules or whatever the way that they are connected. God, I thank you for this church family. Every single one of them. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would bless these amazing people's lives as they lean in to know you more. And then, Father, my prayer for today is that you would release a spirit of freedom in this place. And I pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can type amen in the chat there since we couldn't hear you. That's how we'll know that you're with us. If you want to, underneath the front row, if you're in the front row, are some message notes. If you're sitting in any other chair right in front of you in one of those seat backs, reach over, grab one of those. If you're a note taker, you can follow along with us. If you're not a note taker, it's perfectly fine. If you just prefer to do it digitally on your phone, like your flow, it's just an option for you. They're pens. If you want to write some things, I'll have you write some stuff down. But we are in a series right now that we're calling Kingdom Culture. Kingdom Culture. And this is how I've set it up, okay? We're in part number two, so if you missed part one, you can always go back and watch it. It's on YouTube. You can find it on our website. But this is the way I'm setting it up, is that if you got a new job, you would be trying to determine what the culture of that place is. That's what you would want to know. Like, well, how does it work around here? So I'm the new person, right? And so I need to know, like, how strict are they about the dress code? Like, does the shirt have to be tucked or can it just be out and I'm more comfortable that way? I don't know. That would be a cultural thing. How prompt do I have to be to meetings? Like, if the meeting's at 8 a.m., is 7:55, what is expected, or is 8:04 gonna work? What's the culture, right? We've all been there. We've all been new to something. Maybe it's a new school. Maybe it's a new sports program, new season of life. What I'm trying to determine is, like how does it go? How does it work? Let me say it this way, what is valued here? So if being prompt is very valued at your new job, well, then you probably want to be in the meeting room at 7:55, not 8:04. Wouldn't you agree? Because that's the cultural value. Culture is set by the things that we value. So if the dress code is very, very important and the boss or the company culture is that, man, we want to look like professionals all the time, then casual Friday probably isn't all that casual, okay? Because that's the culture. In other words, what you would be trying to determine is, what do they value? Your home had a value. Your life has particular value. Some people value certain things more than others. Well, here's what we're trying to do in this series is to determine, like, well, what is valued in God's kingdom? What's valued in his kingdom? We've been starting with this verse right here. Jesus said these words. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're going to focus right here today on this word. And then all these other things will be added unto you. And I've been saying it this way, that this is common language if you grew up around the church, if you're familiar with the words of Jesus, if kind of like, you know, Bible stories, like, yeah, man, seek first the kingdom. But the reality is, like, well, what is that? What is it? I mean, I think you could be very churched, very comfortable with, I like to call it Christianese. You know, we got our little language, you know what I'm saying, that like the rest of the world don't know what we're talking about. I try to diminish that as much as possible when I'm communicating about the gospel because I want people to be able to get it. Say amen right there. Like, if you don't get it, what's the point, right? But we talk about this thing, the kingdom, but like what is that? And so what we're trying to determine in this series is like, what's the culture of the kingdom? Let me say it this way, what is valued? What is valued? And so we're gonna dig a little bit deeper today. And to do it, I'm gonna go to a prayer from the Apostle Paul. This is where we started last week. It's where I'm gonna start this week again. The Apostle Paul has this prayer. He's communicating this to the Ephesian church through a letter that he wrote. It's found in the New Testament of your Bible. Also in the note handout that I gave you, just a little out of order. I made a change this morning, okay? Just stay with me. I made a change. It's not in the same order on your notes. But here's his prayer, and he prays this. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In other words, I need you to understand some things. I'm praying that you would understand. This is what he's praying. So that you may know him, right? We want to know God better. Verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. So I need you to have a deep inward understanding about what God is trying to do, in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you. And then he finishes by saying the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Okay, four things have been identified in this prayer. Four things. And here's what I'm going to submit to you today is that I believe that the four things identified by the Apostle Paul in this prayer are the values that God has for his kingdom. I'm just going to back up and show you real quick. The first thing he says is like, man, I'm praying that you would know God. And he's like, look, I need the eyes of your heart. I need things on the inside to start to make sense. The eyes of your heart need to be enlightened. I'll say it this way, like, aha, like, oh, that's how I like to describe it. Anybody ever have one of those oh moments? Like, oh, well, duh, right? Like that. This is what he's saying. I need that happening on the inside of your spirit because you've been called to something and I need you to know it. The problem with most of the Christian church today is that we've been saved, we just don't know why. So next week, we're going to dig into that one real deep. But then I want you to notice that he's like, hey, it's all about being a part of a people. Because being in the family of God is relational. It starts with Jesus, but then it becomes about his people. Christ Jesus is the head, the church, you and me, those that walk with him are his body. We need each other to work. The Bible even describes that we have different functions and different things and different ways. That's the hope that he's called you to, that some of you, for lack of a better term, are like a finger. It has a purpose. Some of you are more like an eye. It has a purpose, or a knee. Is it making sense? Like it's all different, but it works together, and it works really, really well when it works together. In other words, it's really important that you're a part of God's people. Okay, this is the language that we've put around these four things. I want you to write this down with me. I'm gonna have you write this every single week because I need it to get into you, okay? This is the language. I'm gonna give you the four highest values of the kingdom of God. This is what matters to the Father for you. And the first one is this. Look, he wants this for all people. He wants people to know God. Like, I need you to know me. And let me say it like this. Like, it all begins right here, everybody. People try to find their hope, their purpose, and their freedom outside of a relationship with Jesus all the time. And it doesn't work. It's frustrating. It'll let you down. You'll find disappointment. You'll feel like there's a carrot hanging off the end of a stick that you can never really grasp. And it's because we're designed to know God, everybody. The second way that we say it is this, that he wants us to find freedom. And this is where we're going to focus today. Because let me say it this way. How many of you know that we have issues? We just do. All of us, right? Everybody has stuff that's like messed up. Things that need to get in order. Things that need to go away from our lives. Things that need to be added to our lives. Some of us have temper issues. Some of us have parental issues. Some of us have self-esteem issues. Like, there are things wrong with us. Okay, and you have to start there. Like, we just have to kind of understand, like, hey, I don't have it all figured out. And so what knowing God is going to give us the opportunity to do is find freedom from the issues inside of our lives. The next thing is that he wants us to discover our purpose. You were designed on purpose for a purpose. So we're next week, all right, if that intrigues you, next week, we're really going to dig in to number three. Like, okay, God, you saved me from my sin, but what for? What for? We're going to figure that out. And then finally, the reason that he would want you to discover a purpose so that you can make a difference. I believe with everything in me that from cover to cover in our Bibles, this is the kingdom culture. Amen. This is God's value system. Yeah. This is what he wants. Now, I will emphasize that it all starts at number one. I will never find freedom until I know God. Right. I will never discover purpose until I know God. The fact of the matter is, I'll never make an eternal difference until I know who God is. The beauty of this is that this is not a one and done thing in the kingdom of God. It's not like I just know God and then like, oh, well, I know him. And it's not like, oh, I'm just free from every issue. It's not that I just, well, I have one key purpose for my entire life as long as I live, and that's it, and then I make that difference. I believe that I can know God more and more and more and more. I might find freedom from something today, but I will need freedom from something in the future. I may know my purpose in this season, but God may have a different purpose in my next season, and I can make a difference in your life today, but I can make a difference in someone else's life tomorrow. What I love most about walking with God is that this is a process. And so what God values begins and then it never ends. It never ends. Now today, all right, every week we're going to look at all four of these because I really want, if you call this church your home, I want you to know this. Like I want you to be able to say, like, this is what my church is about. We're about the kingdom's culture. But what we're going to do today is we're going to really dive in to number two. Now to do that, I'm going to take you to a different scripture in the Old Testament in the Bible. In fact, this is the first time that these four pillars or values are even mentioned in all of scripture. And we're going to go to Exodus chapter 6. Now let me give you context really quickly. I have a lot to pack in today, y'all, so I'm going to move quick, okay? Context really quickly. God's people Israel have been held in captivity for decades. They're trapped as slaves in Egypt. God has a desire to set them free. Like, I want to get you out of that slavery, and I want you to be able to worship me the way I designed you to worship me and walk with me and live with me the way that I designed you to. And so God is going to do some amazing things to make that happen. And so God picks Moses, right? And he says, Moses, you're going to go to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and you're going to say, come on, we've seen some of the movies. We're going to say, let my people go, right? That was the message that God sent Moses with to the king of Egypt. But God also said, Moses, there's something very, very important that I need you to say to my people. And this is that message. This is when God began to declare, this is my value for my people. And he said, so you're going to say to the Israelites, not to Pharaoh, but to my people, that I am the Lord. And I want you to notice four things. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people. So I'm going to bring you out of there. I need you to know me, okay? I'm going to set you free. I want you to find some freedom. I'm going to redeem you, which means I'm going to put you back to the purpose in which I have designed for your life. You were born on purpose for purpose. I'm going to put, so right now it's been hijacked by slavery. I'm bringing you back to that original intent that I designed in your mother's womb before you were formed. I knew you. These are things that God says. And then how does he finish? Is that like, but it's really important that you're a part of a people. You see in the similarities here. Now I want to focus right here. All right, go back to the front of the verse. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Next sentence, I will free you. Which is like, well, like you just said that. This is what I think when I read this. Well, you just said that. So it sounds to me like you're doing the same thing. Write this down with me if you're a note taker. Ready? This is my point right here. Okay, we're going to focus on find freedom. Here we go. All right. Praise the Lord. I have a confidence motto up there. I like never use it. Here we go. Watch this. Now listen, we can be taken out of slavery, but still have slavery in us. So what God is communicating is that, yeah, you can know who I am. Yes, you can know me. But the thing is, that's me setting you free. I've gotten you out of Egypt. Let's just look at Egypt as our slavery to our sin. So I can get you out of the place where you're bound by sin. But the reality is, I can still think like a sinful slave. So it's one thing for you to know me, that you rescued me. Oh, you set me free. You've paid the price for the penalty of my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you so much that you've redeemed my life. But the thing is, I can walk out of that church service. I can walk away from that moment. I can leave that initial encounter of knowing God and still have sin issues and slavery problems because I don't know how to think. When all you've ever known is slavery, it's hard to think in the mindset of freedom. And what happens to us all at some level, at some point in our lives, is that we continue, man, I'm trying to pursue God. I want to know God. I'm seeking the kingdom. I'm seeking the kingdom. And then the Bible says, Jesus said it, seek his righteousness. But the problem is that I stumble back into old ways of thinking and old ways of living because I was a slave and slavery's all I knew. And what God is saying is, not only do I want to get you out of slavery, I want to get slavery out of you. I want you to know me, and I want you to find freedom. The Bible says it like this. Don't copy the behavior and the custom of this world, but let God transform you. Notice the process. Let him work on you. Let him do a thing in you. It's not like it just happens, right? Like it's not like you just, Jesus, come into my heart, God, forgive me my sin, change my life, bam, we're perfect. Like, the problem is some people think that. That's not real. It's a transformation process. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Because my mindset has always been slavery, sin, old patterns, and old ways. And God's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But now that you know me, you're going to find freedom in me. You're going to find freedom in me. Then you will learn to know, there it is, we're going to know God's will for us, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So today, what I want to do is I want to dig a little bit, because there are people in this room, there are people online, there are people that will listen to this message a year from now because it just showed up on their YouTube thing and they decided, you know, whatever, it's a nice shirt. That's not the reason. And they just, whatever. They're going to hear it. And the reality is that they have some bondage in their lives. They got some stuff going on. It could be an addiction that it's like, man, I want to get free from this, but I just keep going back. I try so hard, but I keep returning back to this. It could be that you have a poor self-image. Like, I just don't see me the way others seem to see me. I think less of me. It could be that you have a major, major scar on you emotionally, because someone has done something that damaged you on the inside that was unfair and no fault of your own. Maybe there's relational tears that have hurt you and it has set inside of you patterns and ways of thinking and beliefs about yourself or things that you do as a result. And you don't even know what it stems from, but it's from something from long ago. And what the Holy Spirit of God wants to do is set you free. Free. Some of us don't even know what that feels like. Like, yes, I know God, but I feel so bound up. I want to get as practical as I can. Is that okay? Just practical preaching so that I can help us discover, how can I believe about me what God believes about me? How can I just, for once and for all, get rid of that thing that I know is destructive to my life, but I keep going? Like, how can I do that? That's today. So let's start with the scripture. Colossians 5:1. I added, and also not in your notes, I added this one this morning too, thanks to a team member. It is for freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's a funny sentence, but I want you to think about it. It's like, thank you, God, that you got me out of slavery. Help me now get slavery out of me. The reason I set you free is for freedom. You see it? Like, so that you can understand it and live in it and walk in it to be free. So stand firm then. I want you to notice some things. Stand firm then, and don't let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of what? Slavery. Just recognize that there's a statement being made that Jesus is trying to set you free so that you can live and experience freedom. But now, because he's gotten you out of Egypt, you're going to have to purposefully move toward his heart. Stand firm. Don't let yourselves be burdened. Let me say it this way. There's some stuff we have to do. Because Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Anybody ever played hide and seek? Yeah? Fun game. Fun game, especially at nighttime. With black clothes on. Loads of fun. Around our house, we don't call that hide and seek. That sounds too small. We call that manhunt. Okay? Way cooler. Got some confirmation on the front row here. Way cooler. When you call it manhunt and you do it at night with black clothes on. Okay. If I am going to seek the person who's hiding, I will be very proactive, wouldn't I? Yeah. My head's up. My attention is on alert. I'm paying attention to details. I am looking. I'm taking steps. I'm moving into a direction to find something. Jesus said, seek the kingdom and seek righteousness. Listen to me, follower of Jesus. It's our responsibility to seek a righteous way of living. God, what is it in me that you want to change, to hone, to mold? God, what is it that should go away? What is it that should be added? Father, what would adjust and to change? How am I barely off course? God, I pray that in this season, you would show me exactly what you're trying to do, because I should pursue it, right? I should stand firm, and I should not let myself be burdened back into this mindset of slavery, because it's not what God wants for you. One more verse. Therefore, Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses. So this verse, Hebrews chapter 11, it's talking about legends of the faith. It's nicknamed the Hall of Faith in your Bible, is Hebrews chapter 11. And it's talking about these amazing people that have gone on to be with Christ Jesus and basically saying, and now they're like looking down, they're like watching us play this game, okay? And since we have this amazing crowd of witnesses, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Just want you to notice how it's on me. And let us run with endurance the race that has been marked out for us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. He is the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. We want to know God more and more and more and more. But I want you to recognize that there's a portion of this where I have to pursue righteousness. I find it very interesting that the Bible is full of it. I can't find it spoken any other way, that the Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord. Pretty tough thing to do. But if I'll humble myself before the Lord, he will lift me up in due time. And so what I'm declaring is, follower of Jesus, that we have a part to play. And our part is to seek. I need to seek the values of God's way of living. I need to know the kingdom culture. I need to understand, what does God, who I know, value? I need to know him more, know him more, know him more. And how do I find freedom? Now, before people start throwing rocks, I want you to write something with me, okay? You write something. This is very, very important. This is critical to your understanding. Okay, ready? Here it is. Salvation is found in the Savior. So don't hear what I'm not saying. Here's what I will never preach, ever. That if I work hard enough, if I'm good enough, if I have the right behavioral modification, God will love me and he will accept me. That is not the case. Because my placement in the family of God, my right standing with God himself, is only found in Jesus. He did for you and me what we cannot do for ourselves. It is his sacrifice on the cross, his shed blood that got me out of Egypt. It got me out of slavery. I was bound to my sin. It was his sacrifice that took me out. Watch, the Bible tells us that. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. You can't work it up. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done so that none of us can boast about it. It is absolutely critical that you understand that I can only know God through Jesus Christ. Jesus gets me out of slavery by his blood and his sacrifice on that cross. I cannot do it. Salvation is from the Savior. Write this down with me, and this is going to surprise some people. Freedom is found in the family. Okay. Follow me. You guys okay? Won't you walk with me? Because remember all the language at the end of Ephesians and at the end of my Exodus verses where he's like, hey, you're going to become a part of a people. Listen to me. You won't find freedom alone. You will not find freedom alone. It won't happen for you. It's not going to happen for you. And I know you're trying because you're embarrassed. And I know that for you to actually talk to somebody vulnerably about the struggles going on with inside of you, or the real thoughts that you actually think, or the temptations that you actually have, or the actions in which you actually do. Sometimes I know that that is really difficult, and you're trying really hard. You're trying to cover it up. You're trying to show up to church and polish it up. I love Jesus. I love you. Glad to be here. It's great. But you got stuff in a closet that's hidden, and you are in your prayer time, and you are before the Lord, and you are begging, God, please set me free. And he's like, you're going to need the family for that. And this is where some rubber kind of has to hit the road a little bit. And watch. This is not my idea. I'm just trying to preach the Bible, okay? James 5:16. Confess your sins to what? What? Now, what is that? Right? But James is saying confess your sins to each other and what? And pray for each other. Watch. Look at this. What in the world? So that you may be. Because freedom is found in the family. Yes. It's the earnest prayer of the righteous person that has a lot of power and produces some pretty awesome results. PJ paraphrase. All right? But I want you to recognize something. He's all about, hey. He's all about this family. Become a part of a people. And the reason that some of us aren't free, because we don't trust our family. And what our Father is saying is, I've created a pathway for you to find freedom. It's with my people. And I know that you had that bad church experience. I know that the preacher used to stand up way high and act like he was better than you and he had his life together and you were the only one with issues or what. I know that the person at work that claims to be a Christian doesn't act like it, and sometimes they're a jerk, and you actually think the person that doesn't want anything to do with church acts more like a church person than the person who claims to be a Christ follower. I get it. I understand. I think that probably every single one of us have had, I would be shocked if I was wrong, that every single one of us has probably at some point in our lives had a bad experience with a member of God's family. Yeah, ouch. But listen. Here's one of the problems. Here's one of the dangers even of my position. Is that if we are not careful, we will get our eyes on other people and forget to lift our eyes up to the Father. Because listen to me carefully. I don't care how long you've walked with God. I don't care what your title is. I don't care what your background is or your story is. When we are people, we have issues. And there's a real... Can I just preach here? There's a danger, and I would like for our church to work really hard not to fall subject to this little trap of the enemy. And what happens is this. Didn't expect to go here. But what happens is this. That we will get our eyes on a member of God's family, like a pastor or someone that we respect, our life group leader or a friend of ours, and we'll just, man. And we'll make a mistake, and the mistake is we'll almost get in awe, like, oh man, if only I knew God like that. If only I could be that spiritual. And if we're not careful, we'll hinge our hope in Jesus on them. That is dangerous. Okay? This is why I really, really, really try my best I sense a spirit of breakthrough right now. But I really try my best to lead with my issues out front. I do. I'll joke about myself in traffic. I will tell on myself with stupid things that I do, like at the gas station the one time, if you missed that story, sorry. Like, I just tell you. I recognize that I have I'm just human, man. I have a humanity that'll get the best of me sometimes, you know? The reason that I put it out front is because I don't want you to get, like, your focus in the wrong place. So if you ever find out, like, man, Josh did something really stupid, like, don't lose hope in Jesus. Don't lose hope in his family. Just understand that, like, I guess he's got issues like I do too. Now, I do believe that I should be held to a higher standard. The Bible actually says that, okay? And so I hold myself to a higher standard. I'm not trying to make excuses, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I can just do anything I want. Like, I'm not even trying to do that. I'm just trying to be transparent. You know, like, look, I still struggle. So don't misinterpret who I am. I am not your savior. I am not your king. I'm just a pastor. That's it. That's all I am. I love Jesus and I've been called to lead people. That's what I do, okay? Gosh, I'm sorry. I feel like I digressed here, but it's dangerous because we've had bad experiences with church people, haven't we? Or seen them fail or whatever. And so I would recommend this, that first we assume the best, give grace, because you'd probably done it too. Okay. You'd probably done it too. Like, we just have our own things. But here's the thing, like, I can't let the shortfall of someone else stop me from trusting God's avenue for freedom, which is people, which is why, let me just declare this as plainly as I can, which is why we value life groups in this church. This is why we do life with one another in this church. This is why we talk about it and we put it in messages and it's on our news and we push semesters. This is why we do it, because we know that's the place that people are actually going to find freedom. Because the truth is, it's going to be hard for you to get real vulnerable here. But if you get around a group of people that you love and that you trust and you see, like, my goodness, like, I thought this guy was like a 10 out of 10 in spirituality, and then now I find out that he has an issue like my issue, and there is something a little bit relieving about that. Misery loves some company, and it's really nice when I can be like, oh my gosh, just the fact that you were vulnerable enough to be real about yourself gives me the freedom. Like, can I talk about my life? Will you pray for me and my issue? Like, can you and I talk about this from time to time? Like, when I see you next week, bro, can we just get into like an honest conversation off on the side or whatever, like, whatever the case may be. Do you hear me? It's not because we want you to go do, like, ultimate frisbee. Like, yeah, it's cool and that's fun. It's because we want you to be discipled into freedom. That's why. That is exactly why. And I'm going to promote something that is not even available to you now in this life group semester, because every single group is full. I want you to begin to pray about this as we think about the spring semester coming in the new year. But we do all kind of life groups. They're about all kinds of things. We've had fishing groups and knitting groups and deep studies of Ephesians groups. And I do an archery group right now. It's awesome. Might be the best group in the church. Anyway, I don't know. But I'm just kidding. That's so wrong. And not true, but it is fun. But there's one group that I would suggest everyone in our church should do at least one time. In your life with us, as a member of Church on the Rock, you should go to a group we call Freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ. Because it's very specific. Like, it digs. It digs. It'll get in there. It's going to unpack some things and force you to sort of peel the layers back just a little bit and be like, yeah, I need freedom from that. It'll help determine what's the root. Like, I know you have this symptom issue that you want freedom from, but what, like, where does it come from? It'll dig. It'll get in there. It'll find that, like, if we kill the root, we'll lose the fruit, right? I'm not trying to be rhymey or whatever you call it. I don't know. But I'm like, now, I would suggest now consider it and pray about it, because listen to me carefully, we need it. I've been through three different freedom type groups, three different ones from three different like processes. Every single time I had the pastor title, and every single time I found freedom from something. Amen. Every time. So that's why I say at least one time. Be intentional. Be vulnerable. Humble yourself. Let God and his family do a work in you. Okay, we're gonna land right here. You ready? This is our kingdom. Oh, come on, Jesus. There we go. This is our kingdom culture practical steps. Every week of this series, you're gonna get two action steps to take, okay? Two action steps to take coming off these messages. And the first one that I want you to write down is this. Oh, here we go. We're going to pursue righteousness. I got to pursue right living. I do. We read verses about that. I need to know God better. Amen, everybody, right? I need to pursue righteousness. God, what do you want to do in me? And then lastly, I'm going to pursue relationships because I need them. I got to get around God's family because he made me a part of his people. And I need to actually trust his people because that's his avenue to my freedom. It's his avenue to my freedom. So we'll pursue righteousness. We will pursue relationships. Everybody got it? Good? I'm gonna make it go away. You good? All right. If you ever miss anything, find me after the message. I'll give you my notes or whatever. I hand you my personal notes. I don't care, okay? But I want to pray for us. I would love for everybody in the church, just to bow your heads, if you would please close your eyes. I'd love online, if you can, bow your heads, close your eyes. You know, if you're riding down the interstate listening in, I would recommend you don't do this, but I would love for you to agree with us in prayer. I'm gonna pray two separate prayers today, and the first one is just gonna be for us. There are just people listening to this message right now that you need freedom. You're longing for it. In fact, you've been working to find it, praying for it, hoping for it. I want to pray. I asked God at the beginning of this message to release a spirit of freedom in this place. And I just want to pray for him to complete his work. The action steps for you are, hey, pursue righteousness. But you know what? It's time to pursue relationships. God has provided a way for your freedom. Let's go get around his people so that we can find it. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for every person, myself included, my goodness, the areas that we need freedom from. God, here's the reality. Here's what we understand as a family. We don't have it all figured out. We really don't. All of us have things and shortcomings, issues in our own lives, Lord God. But here's what we also know, that you are perfect. You have brought us out of a sinful, slaved way of living. And God, we're asking now to help us to get out of a sinful slave way of thinking. Help us to remember we have been set free, so let's learn how to walk in freedom. God, I do pray, I believe with all my heart that you can do supernatural things. I believe that you can just take addictions from people, desires from people, You can rewire people's thinking to see themselves differently. God, I do believe with all my heart in your supernatural touch. And I pray that in the people being prayed for right now, Lord God, that if that is your will for their lives, that you would do it supernaturally. Just set them free right in this moment, we pray. But God, we do see that you've created a pathway to freedom through the family. God, we need relationships. We need your people. So I just pray for courage and for boldness from us to find people, Lord God, that we trust. We know they're not perfect, but can we trust them? To find people, Lord God, that we believe actually have our best interest at heart, and find people, Lord God, that we can be humble and vulnerable with and say, hey, this is my real life. And when I pull back the curtain, this is what it actually looks like. Will you help me? Will you pray for me? And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that we would walk in the process of freedom the way you designed it with your holy people. And God, we pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Now, every head still bowed, every eye still closed. I'm going to give people in this room or, again, online, listening to this message that have never made a decision to follow Jesus, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. It all starts with knowing God. And so what I want to do is I just want to invite you to say a prayer with me. What I know is that your heart's already been moved because that's what the Holy Spirit's been doing the whole time I've been talking. But what I want to do is just lead you in a very simple prayer. And I want you to repeat after me. Church, you know how we do it. If you're in the building, please repeat it out loud because the people saying it for the first time, my heart is that they can say it with boldness and with confidence. Here's our prayer. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. All that I am is yours in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's congratulate those that said that prayer with us. Amen. Congratulations. That's awesome.